It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Omega Biliga, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to answer our question once again today.
Good afternoon, my leader. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much, Mfundis. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored by the Lord.
Lovely. Our question for today, Mfundis, is how does the concept of hell fit with the idea of a loving God?
Okay. So in answering our question for today, how does it fit? The aspect of hell and the loving God. So I would say the aspect of hell, actually, it is an act of God's love to us. So hell itself is an act of God's love in the sense that hell is a demonstration of God's justice, showing the consequences of sin. The desire of God in the first place was not to destroy mankind or to bring hell in the first place. But we learn that when we sinned, that is where now hell now comes into place now. Now, when you see hell coming into place, it is not a bad thing for us as the children of God. It is a good thing for us because hell is going to come. God is going to deal away with the sin and suffering and pain and even physical affliction forever that we are encountering in this world. So hell is very vital for a loving God or for his people in the sense that it is coming to do away completely with sin forever, because on this earth we are tired of suffering of different diseases. We are tired of many things that are happening under this earth. That is the reason as to why I can say or conclude and say hell is an act of love for God on his children.
So you're saying God loves us by burning us up in hellfire.
I'm saying this lesson for today is very interesting. And so what I'm trying to say is us being burnt in the fire.
Right.
Yeah, it is God's act because he's coming to deal away with sin. In the first place, God has provided a way of which we should not be condemned. There is a way that God has provided for us so that we cannot be condemned. And time is still there for us to accept God so that we cannot be found in the hellfire. That's why if we look at the concept of John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes. So there is a condition in us, there is a condition for us to be saved, and the condition is to believe. Now, when we talk about believing, it is not just believing, then you continue living life the way you're living. When you believe, there is an aspect of you to live life right with your Maker, with your God, so that you will not be condemned.
I hear that, Pastor. I was hoping you'd clarify the relationship between you bringing your sons and daughters, you as Pastor Biliga. You have 10 sons. You bring them to this earth. You feed them. They didn't ask to be brought to this earth. You bring them to this earth. And then you burn them up with fire? Is that love? Do you understand the question?
That is that. Yeah, it is love because they have been given.
Yes, Pastor.
They have been given the opportunity, or they have been given everything. All plans have been put in place for them not to perish, but failure to accept and live right, then they face now the consequences which comes at the end of it, or in the consequences of not obeying or walking in the same love that I give them, then leads them now to what? To eternal condemnation or to hell. So that now we only remain with those that have obeyed him, because the wicked cannot stand the glory of God. And if God was to say, okay, since all of you, I love you like the way he loves us.
Right.
And he says, all of you, even together with the sinners, we are all going to, you're all going to be saved. Now, let's look at the aspect of the wicked. The wicked cannot stand the righteousness of God. And they would still bring issues here and there of which will not be at peace with our God or our eternal Father.
Right.
So for us to be at peace forever with our eternal Father, there is a need of eliminating those that do not what that have chosen. Actually, they've chosen. The issue here with God is that God is love,
right,
and He does not force us to either be saved or not be saved, but he has given us a free will to choose him, to choose the right and the wrong. It is up to us actually to choose either to be condemned, eternal condemnation, or to have eternal and everlasting life. It's up to us. So God has given us that time frame of which we need to choose. When he destroys, it's not like he doesn't love us. He loves us, but the kind of love he loves us is that he has given us the free will to choose at the end of it all.
So what some people tend to ask, Pastor, which is the bedrock of this question most of the time, is that God is the one that creates us with the proclivities that we have. If we have a skill and a yearning to worship, it's because God has put into you that yearning for worship, right? If you have a yearning for kindness, God is the one who has put in you that yearning for kindness. If you are bold and brave like Samson, it is God who has put in you that bravado and bravery in Samson. If you have the ability to slay giants like David, you're bold and audacious. It is God who has put that audacity inside you, right?
Okay.
So if we concede that the things that are inside us were put in there by God, why would God burn us up for the things that he put in us? Why would God put things in us, and then when we live according to the things that he has put in us, he burns us up in hell? Why put in disobedience in me if he doesn't want me to disobey?
If he does not want us to disobey him.
Yes, why put disobedience in me?
On that aspect, to be honest, is that one thing that we cannot fully understand as the children of God is that it's about the love of God, because the love of God at the end of it all is what gives us still the ability to choose again. So if you look at, you talked of Samson, you talked of David. When you talk about Samson, you see the consequences of what he followed, where it led him now. It led him into the prison, and he was a slave, and he was treated badly because of the consequences they what they followed him. And the consequences of us not following God as the children of God, in as much as he loves us, we should do not take advantage and still go out there and do things that are not pleasing him, and at the end of it, or still want to use the same love against him and says, but he is the one that brought us here. Yes, he brought us here, but our choices we make determines where and where we'll go.
I hear you, Pastor. But remember, the question is, he's the one that put those proclivities in Samson. If he didn't want Samson to act according to strength, he would not have given him the strength. If he didn't want him to have the power to be a judge for all those years, he would not have given him the skills to be a judge.
Okay.
So all the things that are inside Samson, all the things inside David, They were put there by God. Why did God put in things that would ultimately lead one to sin? Why? What? Where is the love in you giving your child a gun? And then when this child shoots with that gun, you tell the child, bad child, bad child, I'm going to burn you in hell. Why give the child the gun to begin with? You know he's a child, and a child will just use a gun irresponsibly. You don't let children drive cars. Once you give a child a car and the child crashes that car, you don't say, bad child, bad, bad child. You don't give a child drugs and alcohol. And when the child drinks those drugs and alcohol, you say, bad child, bad, bad child. If you know you don't want the child to drink poison, you don't give the child poison. Finish and klar. You don't want the child to crash a car, you don't give the car keys to the child. You don't want the child to shoot or fire a gun, don't give the child a gun. You don't want the child to, you don't swear. You don't give the child the right to swear. The moment you say, you're free to swear if you want, and the child swears, then you say, bad child, bad, you rude child. But you said I have the right to choose to swear. Why give people the right to choose if, when they choose, you're going to burn them in hell? Where is the love in that?
Okay. the love is still there.
Yes.
The aspect of hell, like I said, and registered to my answer, I said the aspect of hell is an act of love.
Right.
It's still an act of love from God to his children, right, so that he can eradicate or remove our sin. Now, when you ask a question, how can a loving God destroy his people or those he loves?
Right.
Yes, it is clear in the book of John 3:16, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not what perish, but have what everlasting life. Now, a loving God does not bring the unsaved to heaven, but they attain what hell and be destroyed here for eternal condemnation. There, because in heaven there is unselfish love, because they are filled with this selfish hatred. This is why we even summarize in the book of Revelation 20, verse 15. The Bible says, Revelation 20, verse 15, the Bible says, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So for me, again, I still see the aspect of the love of God, because we still have the duration for us to repent or to choose not to be condemned, and that's still love. If we choose not to be condemned, then we need to mend our ways and accept him and believe in him and change our lives. But if we do not accept him and we keep on living the way we are living life, if you read verse 14 of the same scripture of Revelation 20, verse 14, the Bible says, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second. Now, when you look at death and Hades, these are things that I was trying to register or to explain in the first place, that it wasn't God's desire to destroy this world. It was God's desire that his love, we may live in his love and we may live forever and ever. But because of sin that comes, this is why God wants to deal away and burn, destroy sin forever, purify this place, so that now a new Jerusalem can come and be here, a new earth can come and live with God's people and God together. God be their people, and even them they'll be and will be God's children, so forever and ever on earth. So the main point, all I can say is, it is just to eradicate sin and the partakers of sin and death and these other things. But still, even as he destroys sin, we still have a choice to make now as we are still living, to choose either to be condemned or not to be condemned. But for us to if we want to see the love of God that is truly upon us, then we need to choose him, so that we will not be condemned. But if we don't choose him and we choose to live the other life, or we choose to go in the other lane, it's still fine. It all remains to be our choice, and we'll be still condemned, and when we burn in hell, yes, we complain. No, he's a loving God, he put me. Yes, he can put you, but you still have the decision to maintain or to progress in that angle.
All right. We'll take that, Mfundisi. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate your time and your insights. Have a wonderful day further, Mfundisi.
Thank you very much. Blessings your way. We meet tomorrow.
Ngosi Mfundisi.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.